Hey, this is Paul with Conversations with Paul Nielsen. Thanks so much for joining us this week. If you haven't already, go ahead and like our Facebook page. That would be fantastic. Also, if you can, go ahead and give us a rating on any of the podcast platforms that you listen on. This week, we have Ewan Janke that I speak with. We talk about boxing, cancer, and transgender issues. So give it a listen, and thank you, and we'll talk soon. All right, so we've got Ewan Janke, and he's sitting with us. Just wanted to kind of talk with him a little bit and kind of get some of his story and as far as kind of how things went with him throughout his life.
Hello.
So tell me, where did you grow up in Salt Lake, or where did you?
I did.
Yeah. What part of Salt Lake?
Mill Creek area.
Mill Creek.
Yeah. And I'm still there.
Still there.
Yeah.
Mill Creek's a nice area. Yeah.
It is. It is.
Yeah. Do you enjoy Utah? Do you want to eventually go somewhere else? Or
I do enjoy Utah for, you know, certain things.
Like what kind of things?
The outdoors, you know, what people like about Utah. Outdoors, it's getting more progressive, which is nice. Mm-hmm. It's fairly safe. Yeah. You know, that's good.
Yeah, definitely safer. And, I mean, that's why I like it. I mean, yeah. You know, I'm a transplant.
Yeah.
You know,
safer than Oakland.
Yeah, Oakland. Yeah. I mean, you come from Oakland, more of the East Los Angeles area.
Yeah.
Like Northern Orange County, East Los Angeles area. Yeah, yeah. But still, definitely safer than that area.
Yeah,
you know, good. And he's still there. I know we were kind of talking about a couple things earlier. You got into boxing.
Yeah,
yeah. How did you get into boxing?
I needed a new hobby. And I'd always done rough sports, like I played ice hockey and rugby.
Oh, okay. How did you get into those?
Just friends.
Friends.
I thought. Hockey, I was up at Utah State, and they had a roller hockey team.
Oh, cool.
And I thought, hey, that'd be fun, because I rollerbladed. So I joined the roller hockey team, and I was decent at it. And then I heard that there was an ice hockey team, a women's ice hockey team. And I immediately joined, because I thought, hey, that sounds fun.
Yeah.
And I was decent at that, so. And it's tons of fun. I love to skate.
I've never really skated much, but I mean,
we need to go.
I don't ice skate though. I mean, I think the last time I went ice skating was maybe when I was 13.
Oh well,
you know, 30 some years ago.
It's like riding a bike.
Man. Is it? Because I did it kind once.
Oh, well, maybe not.
I'd probably fall flat on my ass.
Probably,
and, you know, break an ankle.
Just get back up. It's fine.
Yeah, you sound like my dad.
But then rugby, and then. Because I was used to all this, you know, intense sort of stuff. And yeah. I just wanted to try something different, so I went to a boxing gym that actually sucked. They just, their training philosophy was, here, just do it.
Just do it.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I mean, I know I've worked out with you once or twice, and,
yeah.
I mean, granted, you kicked my ass. I mean, just the conditioning and the workouts, there's a lot more that goes into it than just do it.
Oh, absolutely,
you know?
Yeah.
You know, yeah. So you went to the boxing club that didn't really work out.
No. But it was fun. Like, it was cool. It was different, for sure.
Why was it cool? What did you enjoy about it?
It was just different. Like, there are these people in here, and boxing is, it's just you. Like, you don't have a team to rely on. I mean, mm-hmm. You have your trainer and your corner crew, which is awesome. But it's you. You're
it all comes.
There's no one to fall back on except you.
You win, you lose.
Yeah,
you're
it's
it.
It's your own issue.
Yeah,
and it's one of the hardest things I've ever done for sure.
Yeah, why is that?
Yeah, because it's just you. Like, I've played team sports my whole life,
mm-hmm.
And then, well, except for I guess I did some track in high school, but you have to rely on you and your skills and. Your conditioning, really, because wow, talk about the longest 2 to 3 minutes of your life.
Yeah, I mean, I understand. I mean, I wrestled in high school, and I mean, going out and wrestling.
So you know,
you know, for 3 minutes, it looks like you're just kind of rolling around or pulling and things, but it's two opposing forces going 100%
right for that entire time,
2 minutes or 3 minutes or whatever that round is, and you're exhausted.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. It's the most My first fight, we actually got fight of the night.
Yeah.
Because we were both just going just balls out. It was awesome.
Nice. So so tell me about that night, though. I mean, what motivated you to just kind of go, as you said, balls out?
Because you have to. Like, my buddy Timmy, who is one of the guys I started training with, like, we both kind of started at the same time. Yeah. He's now one of the best trainers in Utah.
Nice.
And our coach Damien was the guy who really got me into it, because I was searching for coaches, and you know, I wanted to get back into it, but I didn't want to go back to the, you know, dumb where they're like, here, just, you know, do this and that's what you're doing. Anyway, Wrestler's Boxing was where I actually got into it and started fighting.
Nice.
And but one of Timmy's things that he said when he was starting to train is like, you know, when you have girls out there fighting, it's just like the guys, except faster and with more heart.
Well, I think that's with really any women's sport.
Right, yeah.
I mean, I've watched, like, men's soccer, and then I've watched women's soccer. Women's soccer is so much more fun to watch.
I think so, too. And I get so mad when, I mean, I have to tell you, even now that I've transitioned, I'm even more of a feminist now, you know, even than I was before.
Why?
And just because you see, like, it's interesting the different way that you're treated by men as a man than a woman.
That's something I really don't... I mean, I've always been a man, so I don't really understand that. Explain a little bit about that. I mean, how is that?
So now, you know, you go somewhere or you talk to people, even on the phone, you know, working for Tesla. Like, hey, bro.
Yeah.
You know, like, thanks, bud. Thanks.
Yeah.
You know, you have it. You know, and it's interesting, the difference of, I don't know, I like it.
You like it? Why? I mean, what's...
Because I feel like I'm in the bro club now.
The bro club.
You know, like, seriously. Like, you know, I mean, I'm glad that I pass, because I can, you know, be in the boys club and I don't know, I'm not being articulate at this moment.
That's right. So it's, you enjoy it, though.
Yeah,
being,
I do.
Treated as a man. And,
yeah.
And I mean, for all purposes, I mean, you're a man.
Yeah.
So,
well, and I've felt this way my whole life. I mean, when I was a kid, I would always pretend to be a boy, you know, and my brother and I, we would be like, yeah, no, he's a... And my brother would go along with it. And then we'd have to sort of dig ourselves out of that.
Get
after
a hole.
Actually, no. But, you know.
Yeah. So it's something that you've always just kind of felt your entire life then.
Yeah, I mean, pictures of me as a kid, I look like a little boy. And I wore trunks instead of a swimsuit. And... like I was telling you earlier, I got made fun of with that a bit, but it didn't really bother me.
Is it kind of also kind of why you want, and maybe I'm just ignorant with it, but is that why you like more of the physical type of sports? And
I think so probably, well? Yeah. Yeah, and not that I'm saying that that's male-related, really, because one of my rugby teammates, and rugby's one of the best sports out there.
I've never played.
It's so fun and awesome, because you're kicking each other's asses on the field, right?
Yeah.
Just, it's so good. And then and then afterwards you go drink beer with them and sing songs.
Yeah,
horrible,
sounds like a good
horrible
time.
Songs.
Yeah, but sounds like a great time.
No, it's fantastic.
It sounds like an amazing time.
Yeah, it's great.
To kind of go through that.
One of the...
a lot of camaraderie, I bet.
Oh, absolutely, absolutely. And one of the gals that I played with, she would wear pigtails and makeup and then just smash the shit out of everybody. It was awesome.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
Yeah, so it's just, so you kind of like that. I mean, so when you were boxing, were you, you hadn't transitioned yet at that point?
Oh, no. No.
Still presenting as a woman and,
yeah,
and things.
Yeah.
So how, when you're boxing as a woman, mm-hmm, how does that, what is that kind of the perception of women boxers? I mean, I know with like UFC and you got these like superstars of like Ronda Rousey and,
right,
and people love her. I think she's fantastic.
Yeah. But she actually got her trash taken out by that other gal. I can't remember her name.
I don't remember her name. Yeah. I remember seeing that fight.
But yeah, it's nice to have somebody in there that's like at that level, yeah, you know, like, hey, women can really do this. Because remember when we had the WNBA here? Were you here for that?
I wasn't, but I was in Los Angeles.
Oh, and, yeah. And they still have it, I think.
I thought the WNBA shut down.
Oh, did they shut down entirely?
I don't know. I haven't heard much about it, but
I was just pissed when that happened because, you know, sure, they weren't as fast as the guys. They can't dunk at the time, but because they haven't been doing it their whole lives,
yeah,
you know, it's not like, because it was okay for guys to do it for so long, and they do it, you know, from the time they're tiny,
yeah,
and so they're really good and they can dunk it and whatever.
Yeah.
Women, they get older and they're like, hey, I want to play basketball.
Yeah, it's usually the high school or,
yeah,
or the college time,
right? And so they haven't honed their skills as much, but then they're like, well, I don't like to watch the WNBA because it's slow and stupid. You know, that kind of stuff, which is irritating. Anyway. But.
So did you get any of that kind of stuff initially when you were starting out in boxing with that kind of attitude? Or
not really. Well, it was funny because my coach, when I first talked to him, because I just called him on the phone to ask him a couple questions, and I was going through this checklist, like, you know, to find a good boxing coach, ask these questions.
Yeah.
So I was somebody asking him, he's like, you're going through the list, aren't you? But then, and I don't think he thought, like when he first started training me, he didn't think that, like I don't think he had high hopes. But then once he saw that I was in it to win it, you know, then I ended up being one of his favorite fighters.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Was it just like heart or what?
Yeah.
Just because you just kind of always went out on it?
Yeah, he's like, you have the heart of a lion. That's,
yeah.
And that, I guess, brought him over to that. And then he started training a whole bunch more women.
Oh, nice. So you kind of open it up
for, yeah, him. Yeah.
Nice. Does he do more women now than men, or is it kind
of, he's actually totally gotten out of
it. He's gotten out of,
yeah,
it.
Yeah, because they moved over to Long Beach, and then now he's over in Seattle, I think. Yeah, yeah.
Okay. No, you've worked with people and trained and for people and trained other people and things.
Yeah. So
do you like that side as well?
Oh, or? I love it. I love it.
Why?
My favorite thing is seeing the difference in the way they walk in and walk out.
Really?
Yeah.
How do they? What's the difference?
So they walk in, they don't know what's going on, and
mm-hmm,
they're like, kind of cool, maybe, you know. And then once they get it and they feel strong and powerful and like they could actually, you know, maybe be good at this, and they, in the feeling strong,
yeah,
especially with the women,
yeah, I bet
it's amazing. You know, they walk out and their chest is up, and you just see the confidence level go up because, hey, I can maybe defend myself.
Yeah. That's got to be the best part, just to see confidence just being boosted.
Oh, yeah. So cool.
Yeah. That's awesome. So you do that. I know you kind of just do it out of your garage right now.
Yeah. Yeah.
Is it
Rocky style.
Yeah. Yeah, it's, I mean, you got all the stuff. I mean,
yeah,
it's the equipment there is, you got everything you need.
Yeah.
I mean,
yeah,
as far as I know, I mean, I don't know much about boxing.
You could use a ring and, you know, a couple more heavy bags and stuff, but yeah, it'll cost a lot of money.
Is that something you want to kind of grow into and eventually,
sure,
get to that point?
I would love to. It's all about the Benjamins, man.
Yeah, it always costs money to do what you love, you know. But I mean, once you, yeah, get there and you start to, at least I think once you get there and start doing what you love, then that's your life's work, man.
Sure.
It's your life's work, and that's what you got to do. So how do you think the boxing has just kind of helped you out? Like, how old were you when you started boxing?
Let me think.
No, there's no thinking.
I was in 2007.
That was 13 years ago?
13 years ago, so... Shut up.
Just counting on his fingers.
Yes. 20. Hold on. 42. 32.
Minus 3, that's 29.
29.
Fairly sure, unless my math is all messed up.
29,
30.
Okay. Cool. That's when I started training.
Is that late?
I started training before that, and then, so probably, it's probably 28.
28, okay.
Yeah.
Is that usually around the same age that women will start getting into it, or a little later, or earlier? Or?
Nowadays, in the Latin community, boxing is huge.
Yeah?
It's huge.
Nice.
So the girls are doing it too.
Nice.
So it's great.
Yeah. I know Oscar De La Hoya.
Yeah.
He grew up in the neighborhood next to me.
Oh, cool.
The city next to me in Whittier.
Yeah.
So he was always kind of the hometown kind of favorite.
Oh, yeah, totally. Stuff. He was so good.
Yeah.
And then at the end, it was like Ali, though. I mean, he fought too long.
Yeah, he loved it, though.
Yeah.
You know, if you love it, you do it.
True.
Yeah.
But that's why he got, you know.
I don't know.
Because he,
I don't know the story.
He has Parkinson's.
Oscar does?
No.
Oh, I know Ali does.
No, Ali, yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
Because that's what I mean. He fought too long.
But yeah.
But yeah, Oscar, he was so good.
Yeah. I remember seeing clips of him in the Olympics and things like that. And when he was still amateur.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. It's just amazing to watch him.
Totally.
Yeah, but he grew up in Whittier, right next to La Habra, where I grew up.
That's so cool.
And, I never met him or never really saw him around or anything, but because I'm
a hometown hero.
Yeah, just you know, the hometown guy. My hometown of La Habra, it's square footage wise, it's like 10 square miles.
Oh, nice.
There's 60,000 people in that 10 square miles.
Jesus.
So, I would walk out of my house and go to the grocery store and not see anybody that I knew.
Yeah, right.
It's just down the street.
Yeah.
You know, so it was kind of one of those towns that, small area-wise,
yeah,
but ton of people, right. 55, 60,000 people in that little town.
That's crazy.
And then all the towns are all kind of butted up against each other.
Yeah.
There's really no divide between them.
Unless you're wearing the wrong colors.
even then. it wasn't that kind of an area or neighborhood.
Yeah.
I mean, you knew the streets and the neighborhoods not to go down. And
sure,
like that,
sure.
But it wasn't bad.
Yeah.
I never felt unsafe.
Well, that's good.
You know?
Yeah.
I mean, but I'm a white guy. I'm going to feel pretty safe pretty much anywhere I'm going.
Yeah, yeah.
It's just kind of what happens.
Right.
Unfortunately. But, so you started boxing. I mean, did you box competitively or?
Yeah. I mean, I am sure competitive. Yeah.
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 And how did you do there?
I did all right.
Yeah.
Yeah. It was, I think at the end, because, so when I was fighting women fighters, it was really hard to get a match.
Yeah.
Really hard.
So there's not a lot of women fighting at that point.
No. It's gotten much better, much better.
Good.
But, I think from 2007 until 2011, I fought 6 times.
Okay.
That's it.
So over... So that was 5 years, yeah. It was 6 times. So maybe about once a year that you have a fight.
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah, it was pretty.
What's the average? What's kind of the average for, like?
Well, it depends on what you're doing. Like the kids that want to be pro fighters, they fight all the time, every weekend.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow. Is that enough time to heal? I mean, because still gotta.
Depends. I mean, amateur fighting, you got your headgear on.
Oh, okay.
Stuff, so you're not really, getting the crap beat out of you, but...
You still get beat.
Yeah, you still...
Yeah, you're not going to the hospital to get someone up.
No, right, yeah.
Because you got the gear on there to protect you.
You're not getting all your cuts sewn up and...
Yeah, that's good.
Concussions.
Yeah. good. So about six fights, did pretty well. What happened after? I mean, I know you had a little bit of a bout with cancer.
Oh, yeah, that was it.
How did that kind of come about? How did you learn about the cancer? And
So I was on vacation in Europe.
Really?
Yeah. First time I've ever been to Europe.
Yeah, always a nice way to find out. Yeah. Go to Europe, right. Excited, you know? Oh, by the way, you got cancer?
No, I was in London. Luckily, it was our last place that we were visiting. Mm-hmm. I went with my brother. And I started getting these just horrible headaches. Mm-hmm. And I was throwing up everywhere. It was super embarrassing, actually, because I threw up on the tracks of the tube. Yeah, that was fun. Yeah. And then outside of a restaurant, we went to this nice restaurant, and I went outside, and my brother had to grab a garbage can from, just bring it over. It's, yakking it. It was terrible. Ugh. Luckily,
flight come back?
Huh?
How was the flight when you came back?
I actually just, for some reason, got a little better.
Really?
Right when we were leaving.
Huh.
And so we came home, and then I went to an urgent care, an ER, and then finally to my family doctor, who was the one that actually ordered the MRI.
Really? So it took three doctors?
The ER didn't.
Really?
The urgent care didn't. Right.
Wow.
And they just gave me pain meds and was like, oh, you probably have a migraine. So the family doctor ordered the MRI, and while I was at the MRI, they said... they did the MRI, and then afterwards they said, you need to go to the university right now.
That's never a good sign.
Oh, okay. And then they said, there's a tumor.
Wow.
So we went up there and talked to I had an immediate meeting with the surgeon.
Mm-hmm.
And they said, it was Friday. And they said, we're going to operate on Tuesday.
Wow.
Yeah.
Pretty quick.
Yeah. And then they did the surgery, and I had chemo and radiation and all that crap.
All that crap. And so, I mean, obviously, you're good now.
Yes. Knocking.
Yeah.
Wood.
Knocking on wood.
Yeah.
Although, I don't know if that's really real wood. It might be particle board, but it works.
It works, too.
Yeah.
Yeah, but 8 years so far.
Oh, good.
8 years. Yeah.
Very nice. Nice.
Yeah, so hopefully, but the kind of tumor, it was the worst possible case scenario tumor.
Jesus.
Yeah. My poor mother.
Oh, I bet.
God.
I'm sure they were just, your parents were just a mess.
Well, when, because she's lost, there's a lot of cancer in our family. Mm. Like my grandpa, my uncle, my aunt. And when we were in the room, because they told us it was a different kind of tumor.
Yeah.
After they took it out, they were like, oh, it's this kind of tumor. And so we were like, oh, good. I didn't know anything about it.
Yeah.
But, of course, my mom was researching everything. And
it's always a bad idea to do it.
You're right, that. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. I've done my fair share of researching medical issues with my youngest son.
Yeah, sure. And you're just like, I shouldn't actually be doing this.
Yeah, it just freaks you out anymore.
Right.
Yeah, it's best just to kind of talk to the doctors because...
Well, here's the thing, though. So they told us it was this other tumor, right?
Yeah.
And then we went into the oncologist.
And he told us something
different. Yeah, and he said, actually, with the pathology, it's a glioblastoma multiforme, which is, again, the worst possible case scenario tumor.
Wow.
And my mom just crushed her glasses that she was holding.
I bet.
Luckily, I didn't see her because I was just talking to the doctor. And he said, do you want to know statistics and stuff? I was like, nope.
No.
I don't want to know a damn thing about it. And I think that's part of what saved my ass, actually.
Yeah, really. You think, because I know just with your sporting and boxing, like you said, it's just you in that ring.
Yeah.
And your skills and your, you have to depend on yourself. Otherwise, you're going to lose. There's no team that you can blame it on. It's just you. Do you think kind of learning some of those skills while learning to fight helped you with this situation, or do you?
Yeah, I think so. Yeah, because you just have yourself to rely on. And
I mean, you've got
to get through it.
you got coaches and you got friends.
Oh,
family.
Absolutely.
When you're going through boxing and through the cancer, I mean, you got friends and you got family that you can kind of depend on. But ultimately, I comes down to you, I would, you know, assume it, yeah, as far as your attitude and
right. Well, and I think that's again part of what saved my keister is, you know, I was like, well, I don't want to know anything about it, and it's not going to get me, and that's it.
Yeah, good on you.
Yeah, but the thing that sucks is I can never box again.
Yeah,
I can never play rugby again. I can play ice hockey, but only women's ice hockey, which isn't going to work for me now.
No. Now that you've transitioned, yeah, it's not going to work.
So I can't play hockey anymore.
So then, what do you do? You know, because I sounds like you've always been this very physical kind of athlete, and how do you kind of fill that void?
Well, coaching helps.
Yeah.
Like coaching boxing, I love to coach, so that's good. And because I work out with my students, and so I get a little bit of exercise that way, and you know that kind of percussive
with the gloves.
Glove work and stuff. But a lot sitting on the couch a lot.
Love sitting on the couch.
Yeah.
Oh Jesus. Well, that's not really physical.
No.
I mean, it's physically sitting on the couch.
It is,
but
it's not good. No.
That's funny. So do you just find the people to coach it, like, word of mouth, or?
Yeah. I tried, like, flyers and stuff, but I really didn't get a lot of them out, so that wasn't a good campaign. And yeah, mostly just word of mouth.
Yeah.
Because people generally like, you know, when they come to the, and have a session, they, you know, if they like it, they're like, hey, I'm going to tell my friends or whatever,
yeah,
which is awesome.
Yeah, I know I've always loved it when I've gone. I mean, again, it's been like 2, maybe 3 times.
Yeah.
And we just couldn't get our schedules to kind of
work
together
and
things, but I love it. Just the physicality of it is fantastic.
Yeah, it's fun to hit stuff.
Okay. Just to learn how to hit properly.
Right, yeah.
Yeah, it's a lot of fun.
And the feedback from the mitts.
Oh, the sound.
Oh, yeah.
It's fantastic.
Yeah.
It's amazing. Love it.
Yep. That thwap.
Yeah. Especially when you hit it to when you
hit it
finally
right.
Figure
yep.
out how to hit it right,
yep.
and you get that sound, it's fantastic.
Yep,
you feel just empowered, and it feels
absolutely
so good about yourself. About
yeah,
it. It's like I did that. I've been struggling with this for
right.
the last 15 minutes trying to get this thing down.
Yep.
I finally did it, and then
yes.
you go right back to what you were before.
Right,
so it's just more determination.
Totally, yeah, it's good.
Yeah, it's good. So, you know, you've said you've kind of transitioned.
Mm-hmm.
How's that been? I mean, I know you talked a little bit about kind of how people treat you when you're presented as a
yeah.
male.
Mm-hmm.
I'm sure there's people that have known you as a female.
Oh yeah,
and known you as a male. I mean, how was that? Because I mean, when I met you, you kind of presented as a female.
Yeah.
And right. granted, it was only like a week or two.
Yeah, right.
You know, and then
yeah, well, because when I started working for Tesla, that's
yeah.
when I started on the
transitioning I mean, and it's for me it wasn't that big of a deal because
you
I only met you a couple times
much. right
but I'm sure it's kind of difficult for people that maybe have known you for your whole life to kind of
right my parents especially because they struggle with the I mean they're try you know they try
yeah, yeah.
my poor mom my poor mother god she I was I think at 17 I became Mormon for a couple of years.
Yeah.
And that was probably the worst one for her, honestly. And then I came out as gay when I was 23, I think.
Well, how did that work out? I mean, you were Mormon at 17.
Yeah, and then when I was 19, then I was out.
Kind of just let it go.
Yeah.
Okay, and then 23, you came out as gay.
Yeah, mm-hmm. And then I went into the Air Force when I was 19 for a minute.
How
I got medically discharged.
How did I not know this?
You were
in the Air Force. I didn't know the Air Force.
Yeah. I went through basic training and most of tech school.
Okay.
And then got medically discharged for migraines. And then.
So you're a veteran too?
No, because I was never active duty.
Oh, you're never active. Mm-hmm. So what makes you active duty?
When you're actually, like, working your job.
Okay, so when you're going through, like, basic and schooling.
Yeah.
You're not considered active.
Right, yeah.
Okay,
and then
I got you.
Get your, yeah. But, Yeah, so there was all that for her.
Yeah.
And then
a lot of change in a few short years.
Yeah. Yeah, and then when I'd been considering, like, because I had a couple friends who transitioned.
Mm-hmm.
So I was, you know, I would always be, it was on the back burner, yeah. You know. And then, but my mom, she was like, just don't, like, the first thing, Jamie, one of the things she told Jamie was, please don't let my little girl become a boy. and Jamie told me that, and I was like, oh, man. Like, because you know, it's your ma. You don't want to hurt her. And then, so we were driving to the airport one night, and I was like, so, because we've been talking about it a little more. Yeah. I was like, so this whole, like, transitioning thing, is that, like, a disowning me type of thing? She was like, no.
So you had that conversation? So,
yeah, yeah. And then the one thing she said was, you know what? You're going to be a short boy.
You're going to be a short boy?
Okay, Mom.
I love your mom.
Yeah, she's rad.
I've never met her, but I love her.
Oh, you should meet her. She's rad.
You're going to be a short boy.
Yeah.
There's nothing wrong with being a short boy.
Right.
I mean, I'm not tall. I'm 5'9", which is about average. But
are you 5'9"?
I'm 5'9".
Only 5'6".
Oh, yeah, you're a short boy.
Yeah. But they've been awesome.
That's awesome.
My parents are awesome with all that stuff. They, you know, they still call me Molly. And,
yeah.
I'm like, you mean he, right?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, yeah, oh, yeah, he.
Yeah.
So they're trying.
They're trying. I think... And I'm definitely correct me wrong, but I mean, I'm sure that kind of goes a long way. That they're trying.
Oh yeah,
you know,
for sure.
It's it can be tough, I'm sure, on parents.
Yeah. Well, my roommate, who's a trans woman, she's been totally disowned by her family.
Really?
Yeah.
That's gotta be horrible for her.
Yeah. And the other roommate, she raised 4 boys. Yeah. And talks to one of them now, I think.
That just doesn't understand. I just don't understand that.
I don't either. It's ridiculous.
You know, I mean, you've met my oldest.
Yeah.
And they're kind of going through some things.
Sure.
You know, where they're kind of figuring some things out. And,
right.
And, you know, she mm-hmm. she kind of goes back and forth.
Yeah.
She kind of considers herself as more of a gender fluid.
Yeah.
Kind of went through that process of kind of figuring out, am I trans?
Right.
It wasn't. Yeah. It kind of went by Ian and Killian, and
mm-hmm.
Went by Ashton for a while. And
yeah.
And as a parent, for me, it's you kind of have to. I don't want to say I struggled with it. I just didn't understand how that relationship was going to be.
Right. Sure. No. I mean, I'm sure it's really hard for parents. But, I mean, you know, you've known this person as who they, you know,
who I named them.
You knew them, right?
Yeah.
Right, and you named them, and
yeah,
went through, yeah, so. And they're like, actually, this is my name.
Actually, Dad.
Right? Yeah.
I'm no longer this. I'm going by Ashton now.
Right.
And I'm a boy.
Sorry that you went through all that to name me, but...
Yeah. Oh, it was a lot. I mean, his wife and I went through back and forth.
Right, yeah.
You know, I'm going to name this. No, we don't like that name. What's going to name of this? And, you know, but it's... For me, what it kind of came down to was I wanted to understand.
Yeah, no, I remember you when you came to me that first time.
Yeah.
And you were like, hey, can we talk about this? Because.
Yeah.
Which was awesome, by the way.
Well, yeah, I mean, I've got good friends and people of all walks of life. And that's part of being a good friend is being able to go and talk to people that know more about it.
Right, sure.
And really what it came down for me was I don't have to understand it. They're still my child.
Yes, and right.
And I'm still going to love them
right.
regardless.
Yeah.
And I Which don't have is... to quite understand exactly why or what, because honestly, I'm never going to understand it.
Sure.
Not at that level.
Right, of ever. Course.
Because I'm not going through it.
No, and that's the best response.
Yeah. Yeah, and there's some things that have kind of happened between us, so I mean, we don't talk a lot, but
yeah,
you know, it's one of those situations that we'll work things out and
of course.
We'll have that relationship. But yeah, it's... I struggled with it as a parent.
Of course, yeah, sure.
Because I didn't understand how that, or if it would change our relationship.
Right.
So I can kind of understand a little bit what your parents were going through.
Sure. I know, I think that the parents think that you're going to be a different person. But you're not a different person. No. You're just presenting
differently.
Yeah. Yeah. I guess.
That's kind of what I've learned mostly about it is you're just presenting differently.
Yeah.
It's and again, I'm just trying to understand it's how you feel, who you really are, and
right.
And you're inside of you.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I remember my whole life, I was like, why isn't my voice lower? You know? I should be able to do that too, and my voice isn't lower. And I would even look at things like, is there a way to lower your voice with like exercises or, you know, some sort of stuff? But so I was really, really glad when I first started on the testosterone.
Yeah.
And it pretty quickly
dropped your voice.
Dropped, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. I bet. I mean, it's.
With some people, it does not.
Really?
Yeah. And get this, that. Which is the stupidest thing ever. With trans females, The estrogen affects their voice not even a little bit.
Really?
Not at all.
I wonder why.
I think because, you know.
The Adam's apple or what?
No, when we're.
Because I'm.
When we're little, stupid. Everybody sounds the same, right?
Yeah, for the most part.
Yeah. The testosterone, it thickens your vocal cords.
Okay.
And shortens them.
Really?
Is it,
it's got to elongate them, wouldn't it?
I can't remember.
Because if it's bassier or lower.
Right, yeah.
I would think that it would be elongated.
But yeah, it makes them thicker and...
thicker.
So when you go through puberty as a male, you get that the testosterone, and then you drop the voice.
Oh.
Whereas females, our voices get lower as we get older.
Oh, yeah.
A little bit, you know. But it's not. It has nothing to do with estrogen. So
that's interesting.
Yeah.
I would have never even.
I know.
Even thought about that.
Yeah. Well, and that's why, because my roommates, I was like, well, are you still taking your estrogen? And then I went to the gender conference last year.
Uh-huh.
Was it 2 years ago? I think it was last year. But and then I went to one of the talks, and then I found out that it doesn't even affect their voices at all, and they have to either get surgery or do. Like voice coaching kind of stuff.
Okay.
To, you know.
To kind of present as a woman.
Yeah.
That's interesting.
Yeah.
I mean, it's really interesting.
I thought it was very interesting, too. Huh. It's like, well, that's a bunch of bullshit.
Just one more struggle.
Right. Because that's why when I first, I was like, man, I hope my voice lowers because this is, yeah. Because I wanted to be able to pass, you know?
Oh, yeah.
I think that's all of our, you know, you want to be able to pass.
Absolutely. I think your voice is lower than mine.
Yeah, I think it is. Yeah,
thanks. I've been working on this my whole life.
Yeah, it's cool.
The last couple of years, and you nailed it.
Singing Johnny Cash songs. And
yeah. I'll never be able to shoot a man in Reno, ever.
Nah, just to watch him die.
No. Never. I don't have the voice for it.
Yeah, well, it's funny, because I started taking voice lessons, like just vocal lessons, and my voice coach, he was trying, he's, because I'm doing like we, you know, you do the little recitals or whatever, and the adult recitals are adorable, because there are these old people that are doing it, and younger adults, you know.
Yeah.
But I'm doing Hallelujah by Rufus Wainwright, that version. I mean, it's high for my range now. So it hurts to do certain things. I'm like, can I do a low one too? So I'm also doing Ring of Fire.
There you go. That's a good one for you.
Yeah, yeah.
Wow.
But it's been interesting. It's been a trip, I'll tell you.
Yeah. So you've transitioned. So I've known you for what is it? About 2 years now?
Yeah. Yeah, it was.
Because I met you right when you started working. With me, and how long you've been there? Almost, it's got to be almost 2 years, or pretty close.
Well, it was in January. I started January of 2019.
2019.
Yeah.
Okay, so just
a little, year and a half.
Year and a half. Yeah. Okay, so I've known you for about a year and a half.
Yeah.
Wow. So any type of struggles that you've noticed, or just from, I know we talked a little bit about your parents kind of accepting the transition.
Yeah.
Anybody that hasn't? I mean, what is that like? If,
you know,
if you've experienced that, I don't know if that even really happens. I'm sure it does happen. I mean, in the case of like your roommates where they've been disowned. And
right. Yeah. That's, that makes me so mad. But, No, you know, I had more because I pass.
Yeah.
You know, which is it's
is that something you were afraid of that you wouldn't pass?
Yeah. Oh, yeah, for sure. Because trans people are not treated well. Like, if you're, you know what I mean? They're just not.
Just horrible. I mean, it is. It really is.
Yeah, that's definitely a sticking point for sure.
Yeah.
You know, and they get killed, and it's bullshit.
Mm-hmm.
But same with gay people, you know? It's... I've had more... one of my buddies that I was in the Air Force with that I went through tech school and... Or, I mean, basic and part of tech school. And he was so angry when he found out that I was gay.
Really?
Yeah. Why? And he just was absolutely rude and... Because, you know, they were kind of religious.
Okay.
I think so. That's, you know, religion's hard with...
Yeah.
All the LGBT stuff. With, well, certain religions are. But
I think to an extent a lot of religions are. Yeah. I think a lot of religions are kind of tough with it, but it depends on kind of how.
Right. Well, then there are some that are like, we welcome everyone. Yeah. But then others that are like, you know, stuffy and.
Yeah. I get that.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I get kind of the whole religion thing and how that can be a little, you know, compromising, you know, with some people. I know you were kind of telling me a story about, like, some of your roommates, because you've
got trans. Right.
Yeah. Males, right? Trans women.
Trans females.
Yeah, yeah. Trans females. Sorry, couldn't remember.
No, it's hard. Yeah, which way?
Well, I mean,
trans male is from female to male. Trans female is from male to female.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, I mean, you just told me about these roommates just a little while ago, and
right.
So I couldn't remember exactly.
Yeah, well, they're
which way it was, but whatever.
Yeah,
no, here nor there. But you were telling me about an experience that kind of their struggles a little bit.
Oh yeah,
the whole issue.
Yeah, well, like I was saying, my one roommate, she shreds on the guitar. She's so good.
Yeah.
She goes and plays the. Like a jam nights or whatever, my open mic night kind of things where people just get up and play, you know?
Yeah.
And she was at a place where she felt safe, but she went into the bathroom, you know, to pee.
Yeah, because that's what you do there.
Right, yeah. And,
Or, you know, snort coke off the back of the toilet.
Right, you know, whatever.
It's probably not one of those type of places. No. I hope not, anyway.
No. I think it was at,
Sorry,
Hogswallow. You know Hogswallow?
Hogswallow. I've heard of it, but I don't... It's
in, like, Conwood Heights kind of area.
Yeah, I haven't ventured out in that area much.
Yeah.
I usually kind of stick around
but
where
it's,
I'm at.
It's, you know, you would think it would be a fairly progressive place, and she felt safe there. But she went into the bathroom, and some girl came in, and her boyfriend was outside screaming about, there was a dude in the bathroom, and he's going to kick his ass, so you get him out of there. You know, that kind of thing. And she was just sitting in the stall, just absolutely terrified.
Oh, I bet. I mean, just being confronted by somebody in general.
Right.
Me being a straight man and somebody getting in my face, it's scary.
Sure.
You know, nobody wants that. I mean...
Yeah, and someone screaming that they're going to kick your ass when you're just trying to, you know, go to the bathroom.
Yeah, just pee.
Right, yeah. So, yeah, and then my other roommate... was got turned down for a place that she was trying to stay in because the women that live there didn't want to share their bathroom with a trans woman. So, I mean, yeah, I don't get it.
Yeah, I mean, it's ridiculous. I mean, and this is kind of, it kind of goes into kind of what I've talked about in previous podcasts is that people just need to kind of get over the discrimination and get over the prejudice and let people kind of live the way they want to live and
right.
And be
well and be kind maybe I don't know like
I mean that's a huge start
right
a huge yeah. start I mean to be able just to be kind and accept people for who they are and
who they
how they
want to
be.
Just
I mean,
leave them alone. God.
Yeah, I mean it's for me you being trans doesn't affect my life in any way.
No,
so. Why do I care?
Right.
I mean, I love you because you're a good guy and things, but your choices to be a man has nothing to do with me.
Right. Well, yeah, and that's the argument with gay people too. Is like, like, what does their if they get married, how does that affect your marriage? It doesn't.
Right. It doesn't make it any less special. It doesn't make it any less sacred. It doesn't make it any less anything or whatever adjective you want to put on there. It doesn't make a difference.
Yeah.
You know, it doesn't affect me in any way. And so what's the point of being upset about it?
Right. Exactly. You know? Well, that's the whole thing. Yeah.
I mean, honestly, if people are happy, isn't that really kind of the goal?
Right. Yeah.
Let's get along and let's. I mean, like we kind of talked a little bit about before, I met you and you introduced yourself as Molly to me the first time.
Right.
And then a couple weeks later, you came back after going through some training and all of a sudden you're Ewan.
Yeah.
Okay. And me personally, I thought, did I hear the name wrong?
Right. Yeah.
Did I catch it? Am I thinking of somebody else?
Yeah.
It didn't really make a difference.
Yeah.
You're still the same person.
Right. Exactly.
I mean, it's the way you want to live and the way you want to present yourself, and it's the way, it's the name that you've chosen, which honestly is a kick-ass name.
Thank you.
Yeah. You know, you're going to be a Jedi next.
It's hard for people, but...
Yeah. Ewan is hard?
Yeah, it's either really? E1 or they're always like, how do you spell that? Is it like Y-U-E-E-N? Yeah, that's how you spell it.
Well, we're in Utah where they've got weird spellings
for
everything.
That's true, yeah.
You know, I mean, so that makes perfect sense in Utah.
Right,
Y-U-E-E-N. Yeah. Let's throw another Q in there.
Right,
Z, just
the Q is silent. It's silent. Yeah. Yeah, for sure.
But yeah, it's... I don't understand it. I mean, I don't understand people...
Well, and why does everybody...
caring so much.
Like, why do you have to be hateful?
Exactly.
Just be kind. If everyone would just... You know that bumper sticker, the Dalai Lama, is like, my religion is kindness. That's what it is.
Yeah.
Like, if everyone could maybe do that, you know?
And that's the best kind of religion.
Yeah,
be absolutely. Kind, be nice.
Right.
Be loving.
Yeah.
You know, be accepting. It doesn't matter if you agree with it or not.
Yeah.
Let
people be who they want to be and leave them alone.
Yeah. It doesn't hurt. I mean, if... I know there's a lot of people that don't agree with homosexuality or trans people or non-binary people or any of that.
Yeah.
But really, what difference does it make?
Right.
You know, it doesn't make a difference to them. It doesn't hurt them. It doesn't make it doesn't change their lifestyle. It doesn't change their beliefs.
Right.
I mean, you're not coming in and telling me, well, Paul, you really should transition to be a woman. No one's doing that.
No.
That's just ridiculous to think that somebody's going to go ahead and enforce that or say, no, everybody needs a transition or everybody needs to be gay or everybody needs to be straight. I don't go around saying, you know, Ewan, you really should go back to being Molly and be straight.
Right, yeah.
That's not who you are. That's not something that I'm going to do. That's not my place. It's not me as a straight man to say.
Right. Well, that's the bottom line is, like, you know, no one's forcing their beliefs on you. Don't force your beliefs on anyone else.
Yeah. Or your preferences or whatever it may be.
Exactly.
You know, it doesn't make that big of a difference.
Right.
You know? For me, I mean, just kind of sitting here and hanging out with you. And we've gone out and we've hung out and done things. And you're just Ewan. It doesn't make a difference.
Right.
You know, what you were before, or what your path you've gotten, you've led to get to this point. This is where your path has led you. This is where who you are now.
Yeah.
And I mean, the path has kind of made you who you are.
Of course.
And that's a beautiful thing.
As all of our paths do.
Yeah, absolutely. Right? My path has led me to who I am.
Yeah.
I mean, growing up in a religious home and doing all those things and getting married and having kids and getting divorced and having relationships that have failed and raising these kids as a single dad, that's all gone into who I am.
Of course.
I mean, just as your path, even kind of growing up and wearing swim trunks instead of bathing suits and always being involved in, like, physical sports. I wasn't ever in physical sports. I mean, I wrestled, which is quite physical.
Oh, yeah,
but
for sure.
it's not something I always did. I was interested in it, and I did it, and quite frankly, I sucked at it. But that was mostly because I was going in as a sophomore in high school.
Oh, yeah.
And all right. the other kids have been wrestling since they were five, yeah. six, seven, 8 years old.
Right.
And they were just better. You know, I learned a lot and I loved it. But your path has kind of gotten you to this point, and I'm sure maybe not only sports, but the different things have made you confident enough to be able to make this decision and move forward with it.
Yeah.
Yeah. I could be wrong. I don't know.
No, I didn't know. It's absolutely true.
Yeah. How is kind of going through some of that stuff, you know, the boxing and this ice, the ice hockey and the rugby and cancer and beating that and things, how has that affected how kind of how you've transitioned and kind of your attitude towards it or your because I'm sure everybody, I'm just assuming here, when you transition, there's got to be a little bit of fear and a little uneasiness that goes into it.
Of course. Well, because there is so much hatred out there
mm-hmm.
for that, you know, either for trans people or gay people or the whole LGBTQ AIXYZ, you know, community.
Yeah.
And I say that
sarcastically.
Kind of silly, but
yeah.
I mean, I support the LGBTQ community.
I hope so.
Emphatically, but they just keep coming out more letters.
I don't know what all the letters stand for, but it doesn't really make a difference.
No,
if I do or not.
The whole community is, you know,
it's a beautiful community.
It is, and I feel the worst for the kids.
Yeah,
you know,
why's the
kids
that?
Because they're homeless youth out there. Because they're gay or they're trans or whatever, and they don't have a place to go because their parents have disowned them. No one should disown their child.
No. I think the point is that your children and your loved ones are your loved ones.
Right.
And regardless
and
of the choices they make or
right.
the people that they are or what have you, and I'm not saying being gay or trans or what have you is a choice. I think it's an inherent thing that you have within you.
Sure, of course.
And I don't know that anybody should reject somebody because of who they are.
Right, agreed. Yeah, well, and it's a choice whether you want to be your authentic self or not.
And that's the choice.
Right.
And I think people who are willing to go through that authentic self and be authentic and have the vulnerability and the courage to be authentic...
Right.
Is
well, and people are killing themselves because they don't feel like they can. And so the death is the other option, which is absolutely tragic.
Horrendous. Horrendous and tragic. And,
it is.
And it's an abomination that's actually going on. And I think what Utah has one of the highest suicide
yeah.
rates in the country.
Sure.
And a lot of it because stems
of
to...
LDS Church.
Part of the LDS Church and the accepting and
not or not,
you know, just the culture that they may be here,
right?
You know, I mean, I grew up LDS and I don't have any like qualms against the church.
Mm-hmm.
I've left the church,
yeah.
But there's certain things that and attitudes that are taken within the church that don't help. And I know they've
sure.
tried to come out with things to be a little more accepting. I don't know how sincere it is or what have you. That's not my place to judge that.
Right, sure.
But it is... It's still tragic, regardless of...
Yeah, it is.
Of where it's coming from. That we're losing so many youth to suicide because
right.
they don't feel accepted. And I think that's really the big takeaway here is that these kids, they don't feel accepted.
Yeah.
They don't feel loved like they should.
They don't, yeah. Well, and they don't feel like they have a place.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And the weird thing is that Salt Lake has a very large LGBTQ. I don't know all the initials there, the letters. It's a very large community.
Oh, yeah.
It's very
yeah.
tight-knit, and it's amazing.
Yeah.
And I'm glad and I'm happy that they've got they... that the community's there to support each other.
Yeah. Oh, absolutely.
I think
absolutely.
It's amazing.
Yeah.
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 So what kind of fears did you have, you know, when you decided to actually start transitioning?
Mostly my mom, just because I didn't want her, because I had put her through so much already.
Yeah.
I was like, do I really, And it's funny because my ex-wife was the one who... because I had been talking about it, I have a couple of friends that have transitioned. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I'd always mentioned to her that I was envious of, you know, this one's, the voice is lower, and that's so cool. And that's, yeah, you know, and I was envious of that, and I was envious of whatever other thing was happening. And she's like, why don't you just do it then?
So she was, your ex-wife was pretty supportive of it.
Initially. And then we divorced. because, you know, she's gay.
She's gay. Well, I mean, that makes sense.
It does. You know? It was hard for her, yeah, that part, you know.
The divorce part was hard? No, or the transition. Yeah. Why was it hard?
Well, that's part of the, like, because she was the one that sort of was the impetus of why I, you know, actually started. And then, mm-hmm, she was sort of shocked.
Did you follow through with it, or?
Yeah, kind of, I think. Yeah, a little bit. But, I mean, she's supportive and she's awesome. We're still friends and everything. Good. But
I was going to ask you, was she supportive to the process? She's awesome. Good.
But that was, I mean, there was a little fear there too, you know, mm-hmm, because I was losing this relationship that I had.
Yeah.
And, which, you know, it turns out fine now. Like, she's in a new relationship with someone who's awesome.
Good.
And we're still friends, so that's good.
That's nice.
I'm not even sure where I was going with that initially.
It's kind of the fear of...
Oh, yeah. Oh, but yeah, my mom. Mm. But, she, I mean, my parents, I can't even tell you. They're the best.
They sound pretty solid.
Yeah. Yeah. My dad even... And I wasn't even going to tell him.
Really?
Actually. Like, when I came out as gay, you know, my poor mom... She was like, you know, what are we going to do? And because she, when I first came out as gay, she cried, you know. Because,
yeah,
I think they just have, they're like, they're scared for what's going to happen to you.
Yeah.
You know, because the world is not a kind place.
No.
And.
Yeah, people just jump on anything that's different.
Right.
You know.
And then, and she was asking my dad, and he's German. But
very German.
But he just said, well, what is. I mean, that's amazing.
Yeah, I mean, it,
because it's true, you know, like that's
how, I don't know if there's a much more perfect response. Well, yeah. What is.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know?
Well, and then this, and then with the transition thing, you know, he was, because I didn't, like I said, I didn't want to tell him. I was, mm-hmm, like, I'm not even going to, let's just wait.
I mean, see, I mean, what happens. Eventually he's going to find out.
Right.
I mean...
Yeah. And so he was talking to my mom, and he's like, so what is this about Molly changing her name or whatever? And my mom didn't, she was like, well, she's transing. Like, she didn't know how to say it.
Transing.
Yeah. And he goes, oh. So I guess we're going to have two sons then.
Like, again.
Right, yeah.
Perfect response.
Right, like, it's the same thing. Like, what is, I guess.
How old are your parents?
My dad is 81?
In their 80s?
No, my mom's 70.
So
they have 11 years difference.
Oh wow. Okay.
So yeah, my mom's 70, my dad's 81.
Nice. So this whole idea of, well, that's the older generation, that's the way they think. They just kind of prove that that's complete bullshit.
Yeah. Yeah. Right. Yeah, no, they're amazing. They're amazing. I couldn't have asked for better parents, yeah, honestly.
I bet. I bet. But, Ah, that's fantastic. I mean, it really is that you've got such great parents that have been supportive.
Yeah.
I mean, again, I'm sure just sounds like you've got an amazing relationship with your mom, and your dad is just kind of, I mean, I'm sure you've got a great relationship with him, but it's a little more nervous as far as what he's going to say or think.
Well, he's just, He's German, so there. It's a very critical. Like everything has to be just so.
Okay. Very precise.
Done.
This is the Germans.
It's the Germans. Yes.
Like the German cause. the engineered precisely exactly.
Right. What exactly. Okay. Yeah. Yep. So I just didn't want to deal with it, kind of, which is dumb because the response was obviously like, yeah.
I'm sure it's scary.
Yeah.
You know? Like, I mean, one of the, my parents are very, very religious, very conservative, and when it came up that my oldest was trans and felt more like a boy and things, that was something that I struggled with just... To mention, to mention it to my parents,
right? Yeah,
you know, what are they going to think? What are they going to say? How are they going to react to them?
Yeah,
things along those lines, and they essentially just was okay.
Oh, that's awesome!
All right,
cool.
He's just, I mean, they still call him Mackenzie and things like that, but you know, it doesn't make a difference. You know, it doesn't make a difference as far as...
It doesn't make them love her less because...
Right.
Right, yeah.
Right.
Him or they.
Yeah. Well, gender fluid.
She's picking for the day.
Yeah. She's the gender fluid, so it's okay.
Yeah.
You know, so it's... I think it is amazing that your parents reacted the way they did.
Oh, it is. Yes.
You know, I'm sure that made things much easier.
Oh, absolutely.
Just to know that you've got a support system.
Yes.
You know, have you run into anything like outside while you're going while you're out?
Not really, like that? Not really. But again, like I have it easier.
Yeah, I mean, you present really well.
Thank you.
You know, I mean, like right now you've got a goatee and things like that, which I'm sure helps. So the facial hair and things like along those lines.
Absolutely, absolutely, and yeah, just the fact that I pass makes it easier.
Yeah,
it's harder for people that don't as well. You know.
So what's the best thing that people could do to help the community?
Don't be a dick.
Good enough.
Really, like, you know, there are people that are transitioning or that are homosexual or, you know, any of the in the LGBTQ community. Just be kind.
Yeah.
They're going through some stuff. I'm sure you are too. And just, there's, I don't know if you've seen that meme where it's, be kind because everybody's going through something that you don't understand.
Yeah, I've seen that.
Yeah.
Yeah. And it's so true.
Yeah.
We all got shit.
Right.
We all got things that we're dealing with.
Right.
I mean, I'm coming off of something that's just been traumatic for me and the kids.
Exactly.
And everybody's got things that they're dealing with.
Yeah.
You know, and...
That you have no idea
about. Yeah, you have no clue.
Right.
You know, and I'm one of those types that... I'm open with people.
Yeah.
But if you were to see me on the street or in the grocery store, you'd have no clue. The shit that I'm going through. Just like I have no clue the shit that anybody else is going through.
Right.
And yeah, so be kind. Don't be a dick.
Right. Yeah.
I mean, I think that's the biggest thing, is everybody's got a story.
Absolutely.
I think everybody... You can learn something from everybody.
Yep.
You know? So it's, I think that's
if we listen to each other a little more, I think it'd be better.
Yeah, listen, communicate.
Right.
You know, and I think the listening part is really kind of the biggest thing.
Yeah.
For this
whole thing. Not just hear it, listen.
Listen to it. Try to understand it.
Yeah.
And I think the biggest takeaway is sometimes you're not going to understand it.
Right.
And that's okay.
Right.
You could still be accepting even though you don't understand
it. Right.
That's fantastic. And I think with your advice, don't be a dick. I think that's a good place to end. And kind of, no, I think it's, I mean, it's so true. So let's kind of end it there and
cool.
And kind of, we'll do this again. This has been fun.
All right, cool. Yeah, definitely.
Yeah, absolutely.
Thanks, Polly.
Thanks for coming in.